Jeremiah 29, 4 to 14. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Amen.
I used to travel regularly on the train from Liverpool to Birmingham, and every now and again it was cheaper to get a first class ticket than a standard class ticket. And I remember one particular spring morning, one particular spring morning, it was one of those glorious days. The only thing was, the train from Liverpool to Birmingham didn't have all the bells and whistles of some of the other trains. So first class didn't get you a free cup of coffee. It didn't get you a bacon sandwich or a breakfast. It just got you a comfy seat and a plug socket. But I was happy to take that. And as we got towards Crewe Station, all of a sudden the train ground to a halt. And we were stopped for maybe 10, 15 minutes before the conductor, or the train manager, as they're now called, came over the tannoy and said, "We're sorry to say our train is delayed." And I thought I'd worked that out already. But we sat and we waited at this beautiful viaduct looking out over the hills. And after about another 20 minutes, the driver came on and said, "There's a fault with our train. We don't know if we can continue." So we waited. We waited for an hour. And at the hour point, the driver came on and said, "We're going to go forwards. It's going to be slow, but we're going to get to Crewe. But when we get to Crewe, the train is going to have to go out of service. So when we get to Crewe, it's all change." Life is filled with change. In fact, change is inevitable apart from a vending machine. No one laughed. Come on, it's Father's Day. There's got to be one dad joke somewhere in there, hasn't there? Our lives are filled with change. Change is inevitable. We change schools, we change jobs, we change our shoes, we change our hairstyle, or we change where we live, we change the car that we drive. Our lives are filled with change. And right now we are in a season of change. And we've changed the series we were going to be preaching on as well. We were due to be speaking on kind of giving some tools in our kind of toolkit for how to share our faith in Jesus with the world around us. But we just felt, actually, we are in a season of change. We're in a time of change, and it feels like God is leading us slightly differently in that. That we are in a season of rebuilding. That we are moving into a season of rebuilding. And so we've changed the series. And over the weeks ahead, we're going to look at what it means to be a people who are rebuilding. So the messages over the weeks between now and the summer, they're going to be a little bit lighter, a little bit more reflective. And what we're going to do is we're going to reflect on two periods in biblical history. We're going to reflect on the period of exile and the period of Second Temple Judaism. The time when God's people were exiled, taken away from their land, away from the temple, away from the way they were used to worshiping. And God met with them in that place. But then also the time when God brings them back. But as they came back out of exile, they had to rebuild. They had to reconnect. They had to regather as God's people and discover what it means to worship in a new way. And we're going to reflect on this period, not because we have been exiled because of sin. I'm sure you could Google and you'll find some conservative preacher, probably white, guaranteed male, probably from another Western nation, shall we say. And they'll tell you it's all because of sin that COVID's here. It's not, that's rubbish. It's just a poor season that we're in some ways. But we can learn from God's people who were once in exile what it means for God to be with us in this year that has felt like exile. And we can learn from God's people who were brought back and who had to rebuild and had to learn new skills and who had to reconnect in a new way. We can learn how God was with his people then and how God will be with us as we rebuild and as we reconnect. It's helpful to have a little bit of history and background on the time that we're going to be reflecting in. And so after King David, who was wholehearted for God, came David's son Solomon. Solomon became king, and he started so well. He was blessed with real wisdom from God. But Solomon, towards the end of his life, he had too many wives, and he was too distracted by worshipping false gods and other things. And Solomon dies, and his son Rehoboam becomes king. And so the people go to Rehoboam, and they ask him some questions, and what he does is he goes away and he seeks the counsel and the advice of the elders, the people who had advised his father. And they say to him, be gentle with the people, be kind with the people. But he wants to stamp his authority. So he goes and asks his mates. And his mates say, no, be harsh with the people. Let them know that you're the ruler. Say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. You thought he was harsh? I'll be harsh. And that's the response he gives to God's people. And so they say, well, stuff you. And so Israel splits, 10 nations in the north and Judah in the south. Over history, Israel had a series of kings that the Bible tells us did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And they led God's people not towards God, but away from God. And so Israel ends up being taken over by the nation of Assyria. Judah, in the kingdom in the south, it's not done so badly. But Judah then also has a series of kings who lead them away from God and into what the Bible says were detestable practices, worshipping idols and false gods. And God sends his prophets, prophets like Isaiah and Micah, to warn the people, if you don't come back to God, you're going to be exiled. You are my chosen people, God says, but you're going to be taken out into a different land and a foreign land, and I won't be with you because you'll be exiled. And they didn't listen. They didn't come back to God. And so God sends the prophet Jeremiah, and Jeremiah speaks to the people about the coming exile, but also about the return and the rebuilding. And this is where we're going to focus ourselves over these next few weeks. So next week, we've got Barry Woodward with us. Barry's a guest speaker. He was due to be with us 12 months ago, but we've kind of honored that, and he's going to be here next week instead. And if you bring someone as a plus one next week, you will get priority booking to be in the building. But the benefit of being online is that if you've got friends and family who don't know Jesus, who don't live locally, or who you just know they just wouldn't set foot through the doors of a church, invite them to be with us online as well. They'll be able to respond online. But then the week after, we're going to look at, first, your exile. We're going to look at the book of Daniel, because it really matters how we live before God when we are in exile. Then we're going to look at the book of Esther, because even when we're in foreign lands and foreign times, God can use us and has plans and purposes which he wants to bring about through you and through I, even in what is seemingly a foreign land. Then we're going to begin to look at rebuilding. We're going to look at the book of Ezra and what it means to rebuild and to reconnect. And we're going to look at Nehemiah, about how people needed to come together and even in the face of opposition to rebuild. And at the end of the series, I'm going to look at the prophet Haggai, who writes to the people after they have come back from exile, after they've settled in the land. And Haggai writes them to say, now is the time to realign your priorities with that of God. Now is the time to rediscover and understand the presence of God in this place and in this way. So this is where we're going over the weeks ahead. Today, we're going to look at Jeremiah. We're going to look at Jeremiah's prophecy of all that is to come and how God was with his people. But we find ourselves, don't we, in this strange season that maybe has felt like an exile, but maybe feels like we're now coming out of. And as an exile people, maybe there's three things we can do. We can recreate, we can wait, or we can locate. We can recreate, we can wait, or we can locate. We could be a people who recreate, who simply look back to how things were and say, we want to recreate what we had. We want to be back to how everything was before all this happened. We want to look back to how the land was, and we want to get back to doing things the way we did in the land before the exile happened. Take a moment to think back to February 2020. What were you doing in February 2020? Maybe you were running around recklessly hugging everybody. We think back to February 2020, and actually sometimes I think we do so with rose-tinted glasses, don't we? We look back to how things were, and we want everything to be like what they were 15 or 16 months ago, but actually there was still some stuff that was really tough. Have you taken time in this year to ask God to show you what he wants to be different in your life? You know, and I look back to how things were before, and my diary was always full, ridiculously full. And you know, one of the things God showed me was that I spent most of my time trying to meet everyone else's expectations. Everyone has an expectation of what the church should do. Everyone has an expectation of what the minister should do. Everyone has an expectation of what things should be like. And I realized I was just trying to meet everybody's, to the detriment of family, to the detriment of self. And God would say, no, I've got some things that I've called you to do and gifted you to do. And so this year, God showed me some of those things. And God showed me some stuff about the church. I'm far more convinced it's less about what we're doing here and far more about the life we live out there that God wants us to be doing. You know, if we knew this was going to happen, what might we have done differently? You know, I think we'd have spent much more time looking at personal discipleship, how we dig deep roots into God to keep us going. I think we'd have looked far more about personal mission and evangelism and how we live our lives. We mustn't simply recreate. If we try and recreate and go back to how things were, I think we've failed. I think we've failed to see what God has been saying to us. I think we've failed to see what God is showing us. And I think in all reality, we have failed to trust that God is with us even through the storm. God doesn't call us back. God is calling us forwards. I heard a beautiful phrase recently from Neil Young, who leads a church up in Causeway Coast in Northern Ireland, and he said this phrase, the future is not behind us, it's ahead of us. We mustn't simply recreate. The second category we could fall into is the category of wait. And if we find ourselves in the category of wait, we actually get irate. The category of wait is saying, well, I'm not going to get involved in church because I have to wear a mask, I'll wait. Or I can't worship, well, I can't sing, I'll wait. I can't do these things, and so I'm going to put my life on hold. I'm going to put my work with God on hold. I'm going to put all these things on hold because I can't do these things right now, so I'm going to wait. But we don't know when the day is going to change. And so we become more and more irate when cases go up, when restrictions are extended. We begin to blame the government. They hate Christians, or we blame other things. It's a conspiracy, or whatever it may be. And we look for things that satisfy us because we're actually frustrated. And the reality is we're frustrated because we're not trusting that God is with us now. We think that God has to have certain things set up in order for him to work. And while that setup can't happen, we're frustrated. Are we in the category of waiting? Putting everything on hold? I'm not returning until I can do X, Y, Z, or until A, B, C happens. Or maybe we're in category three. Category three is locate. Can you locate yourself in the story of what God is doing right now? Are you willing to locate yourself in an exile season and say, God, I don't know what's going on. God, it's tough. God, it's different. It's different to everything I expected. But Lord God, I'm going to locate myself here with you, knowing that you are with me. Because in these changing times, Lord God, you are unchanging. You know, we've said everything is changing in the world around us right now, but God is unchanging. He's the rock of ages. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was here in the beginning and the one who will be there at the end. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's love for you hasn't changed through COVID. He still loves you just as much as he always did, and he will always love you. God's love doesn't change even when the world around us changes. But what God wanted to do for his people in exile, and I think what God wants for us, is for us to be changed, to be more in line and in tune with what he wants to do and what he is doing. And I want to suggest today that we need to be a people who locate in the time that we're in. Because it's only in locating ourselves in exile, in trusting God in the very season that we're in, not wishing for the past, not waiting for something to change in the future, but trusting God now in the exile, that God will really do the deeper changing work within us. We're going to watch a short video clip. If you'd like to turn your eyes to the screen, or if you're at home, if you'd like to keep your eyes on the screen, that would be great.
How about some organic fuel?
Take a car wash, hippie. Look, I'm Lightning McQueen, the famous race car.
We love you, Lightning!
I'm a precision instrument for speed and aerodynamics.
You hurt your what?
I know his type. Race car.
I don't mean to be rude here, but you probably go 0 to 60 in like, what, 3.5 years?
Oh. When is the last time you cared about something except yourself, Hot Rod?
Don't you big city race cars ever just take a drive?
Oh, you get hip to this time of day.
Holy Porsche.
Hey, man, that California trip. It's a kiss on the 66.
If you've never seen the Disney film Cars, it is the firm favorite of the smallest member of my household. If you've never seen the Disney film Cars, Lightning McQueen is a hotshot racer. It's his first season racing in the Piston Cup, and he's come out of nowhere, and he has won everything. The green car, Chick Hicks, he's the bad guy. He's cheating to try and win the race. And the blue car is the king. He's the vintage old guy. He's been winning for years and years, and it's his final season, and he wants to go out with a bang. It's a three-way tie at the end. And so the organizers of the race decide there's going to be one final the following week. And the winner of that gets the Dynaco sponsorship deal, the lucrative deal that everybody wants. They become the champion. And McQueen is desperate to win. He's new on the scene. He's arrogant. He cares about no one else apart from winning. All of his pit team keep quitting because he's so focused on himself. He says, I don't need anybody else. I can do it myself. There's 1 week until the final race, and on the way, he gets lost. He gets lost and ends up in this little forgotten village called Radiator Springs off Route 66, and when he gets there, the other cars there are just weird. Like, they're proper forgotten about, proper, it's a strange place, and he's, no one knows him. And he's like, I'm this famous car, and nobody knows me. And through the week, once he begins to embrace the people that he's with, he realizes that he needs to change. And instead of being so passionate about himself and winning and thinking that he's number one, he starts to care about others. And when it gets to the final race, the green car you saw in the clip, I'm so sorry if you've not seen this, I'm ruining the end of the film for you. The green car cheats and bashes the blue car out of the way and he crashes. And McQueen sees it, and instead of winning the race, he reverses and he pushes the broken down car over the finishing line. You see, it was only when McQueen located himself in exile that he changed. For the people of Judah, it was only through exile that God was able to draw them back to himself. You see, God loved his people, but they had gone so far from him. They were doing so many things that were against God's heart. They'd gone so far away from him that God had to send his people into exile in order for them to be changed, in order for them to be brought back to him, to rediscover his heart once again. Are we a people who can locate ourselves in this exile time in order for God to change us and shape us into the people who's calling us to be? We're going to look at the book of Jeremiah this morning. Jeremiah was written in the 7th century BC. He spans the life of five kings, and Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiachin, and this is the overlap. This is the overlap with Daniel chapter 1, where Daniel goes into exile, and then Zedekiah and the rest of the people go into exile. And Jeremiah is a really tough book to read, isn't it? Jeremiah's full of doom and gloom. He's prophesying all this stuff about you've done all this stuff wrong and God's not going to be with you and it's going to be so hard. And you know, God is saying to his people, you know, I'm the potter, you are the clay. We love to sing that line, don't we? And God's saying, I was making you into a beautiful vase, but you refused to be molded by me. So I made you into an ugly pot. And even then you still refuse to be molded by me. So I'm going to smash you. You're going to go into exile, is what God was saying to his people. And Jeremiah's full of all this stuff, and we read it, and it's heavy, and it's tough to read. But then Jeremiah also talks about what the exile is going to be like, and how God's people are going to have God with them through the exile. And Jeremiah talks about what the future is going to be like. In the midst of it, we see that the kings, they refuse to believe this is going to happen. The false prophets are telling all the people, no, it's going to be a time of great prosperity. It's all going to be great. Don't listen to Jeremiah. Jeremiah's thrown in cisterns and wells and put in the stocks and prisons. So we get all this woe is me stuff as well. It's a tough book to read. But the beauty we see in Jeremiah is this. Jeremiah sees beyond the exile to a time of restoration. Jeremiah sees beyond the exile to a time of restoration. But God speaks to his people through Jeremiah, and he's saying to them, I love you, you're my people, but you've gone so far away from me that you're going to go into a time of exile, but I will be with you in exile, and I will restore you, and I will bring you back. But will you trust me through the exile? Not wishing back to what you used to have in the promised land, not waiting and doing nothing and rebelling against the nation that you're in order to wait for the day that's going to come, but will you trust me in the exile? And that's what we see God saying to his people through Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to read a couple of verses again for us from verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. God says to his people, locate yourself in exile, because I will one day restore you. You know, we see a great picture of this in Jesus, don't we? Jesus was willing to locate himself in death, in separation from the Father for 3 days, in order that in his resurrection and restoration, we can be resurrected and restored. God says to his people, will you trust me in the exile? Will you locate yourself here in the great story of what I'm doing now so that I can do a deeper work in you, so that I can rebuild you into the people that I want you to be? And God says 6 things to his people. Build, plant, marry, increase, seek peace and pray. First thing God says is build. God's saying to his people, you're going to be in this season for some time. We love that verse, don't we? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It's the verse that we often bounce it around when people are going through difficult times, for I know the plans I have for you. But what we forget is the verse before that says, you're going to be hanging out here for 70 years first. You need to stick with me. You need to trust in me. You know, this season of COVID's gone on for a while. It looks like it's continuing for a bit longer, doesn't it? We don't know how long we're going to be in this season of a kind of exile. But what God says to his people is, even though you're in the exile, don't look back to the past. Don't strive for the future and simply put your life on pause. Locate yourself now. Build now. Build in this time. If you haven't got children or if your children have grown up, you probably spent most of the lockdowns building in your houses, that's in your gardens. If you have children, you probably spent most of the first lockdown watching a house be destroyed by homeschool. But build in this time. What are you building your life on in the season that we find ourselves in? Have you been building your life on the truth and the unchanging truth of the love of God in and through Jesus Christ, trusting in the power of God's Holy Spirit to change you and to shape you? Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, that was a Sermon on the Mount, we talked about that recently, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. How have you been through this last 15 months? How's your walk with Jesus? Life may have been really hard, and I know for most it has been, but how's your walk with God been through it? Have you seen how God has brought you through the difficulty? Have you been able to trust in him when things have been really hard? Have you known God's presence with you in this time because you've been building your life on the foundation of Jesus? So as the streams and the floods have come, you've been able to stand firm on that foundation. The first thing we must do in the exile times is to build. The next thing is to plant. If we're going to be in a place for a particular time, we need to be sustained in that time. So the first thing is build the foundation. Build in the land is what God says to the people. Build houses. You're going to be here for some time. And then the next thing God says is, because you're going to be here for some time, plant and harvest. Make sure you can sustain yourself through this time. Like I said before, I think if we knew this was going to come, I think we'd have spent much more time making sure that as a church, we could sustain ourselves through really knowing God's word, through really understanding how we pray and how we have the relationship with God to sustain us through this time. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Are you able to be a people who are planting? Planting yourself in to God. Planting yourself in that good soil where you're being fed by God through prayer, through listening to his voice, so that you can feed yourself, not simply rely on those of us who stand in this spot on a Sunday. Build, you're going to be here for some time. Plant, because you're going to need to be able to feed yourself through this time. The next thing is marry. Well, let's take this and look at it in terms of relationships. Build relationships. You know, I think if there's one thing that COVID's really taught us, it's that there's some people in our lives who are really dear to us, and we know who they are because we've missed them in this past year. Invest in your family. Invest in your friends. Invest in those who are close to you. You know, in this time and season that we're in, it may be that we still can spend less time with people, so we're going to have to be selective and cautious about who we spend time with. Who are the people that really build you up? Who are those who you can be truly honest with? Who are the people that hold you accountable and say the hard things to you when you need to hear them? Who are the people that you deeply trust? I've told them 1 Thessalonians, encourage one another and build one another up. It's important to continue having relationships. It's why we do things like the online coffee morning. It's why we stick around and chat. It's because we're to build one another up, to have the relationships with one another, because we need one another. The next thing we're told to do is to increase in number. As the church, we are to increase. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And when Jesus said that, there was no red, amber, or green list. But what does it mean for us to go to all nations? Our neighbors, our friends, our families. To invest in increasing by the way that we live our lives. Who are the people that you're journeying with, who you want to spend some time with in the months ahead because you know that they are on a road somewhere and you're hoping that that road is going to lead them to Jesus? How you can accompany them on the journey. We mustn't shy back from sharing our faith. People have so many more questions in this time than they have before. We must invest in increasing in the exile time. We mustn't simply go on pause. Increase. The next thing God says to his people is seek the peace. Seek the peace. Philippians 1 verse 27 says, "Whatever you do, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Through the lockdowns, we've got to know our communities better, haven't we? We've got to know the people of peace around us. We've got to know maybe our next door neighbors or the people further up the street or the people who live near us or the people on the school run or whatever it may be. We've got to know people a little bit better in this time. And the risk is that as the restrictions are easing, we simply go back to treating our homes like castles and B&Bs where we zip out in the car, we zip back, we go into our front door, and we don't talk to anyone in our neighborhood unless we really have to. We need to make sure that we continue to seek the peace of the community that we are in. We must continue to be a people who invest in those relationships with those in the community that we're in order to demonstrate the good news of Jesus Christ so that we can do that last thing, so that we increase as the followers of Jesus. You know, I'm genuinely going to be delighted as things open up in church life, as different ministries open and different activities, I'm genuinely going to be really pleased if people come to me and say, "This is the thing I served in church life, and I've loved doing it, but you know what, Lee? I'm not going to do it anymore, because I've got involved in a club in my community. I've got involved in something that takes place, an activity, and you know, I think I'm the only Christian there, but I think I can be salt and light in that place." You know, I'd be delighted at that. Not because I don't want to see things flourish here, but because we're called to seek the peace. Because we're called to increase, because we're called to be salt and light, even in a season which feels like exile. And then the last thing that God says is pray. Pray to the Lord for it, for the place that you are in. Because if it prospers, then you too will prosper. If it prospers, then you too will prosper. Seek the prospering of the community that you're in, whether you live here in Ancient Village, wherever you live. Seek the prosperity of the place that you're in. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for the schools. Pray for the NHS workers. Pray for the hospitals. Why? Because if they prosper, then we too will prosper. Genuinely, one of the richest places of ministry for the past 6 months for me has not been in here. It's been at the vaccine center. You know, I'll never forget having conversations with people in their 80s back in December who hadn't been out the house since February, and that was the first time they'd been out the house. I'll never forget conversations with people who've said, "Why is someone from the church involved in this? Isn't this for like the doctors and the nurses?" Well, no, because we're a people of hope. And we believe that a time of change is coming, and at the minute, this is part of the way that our community is being changed. Why have I been involved in that? Because if it prospers, then we will prosper. As more people are vaccinated, so a normal life will come back more quickly. Where are the places that you're investing in the community? So that if prospers, then we will prosper. Pray to the Lord for the community that we are in, that it will prosper and that we will prosper. Build, plant, marry, increase, seek peace and pray. Locate yourself in the story of what God is doing in this season, not lamenting the past, not simply going on pause and on hold until the future comes, but trusting God to be with us in this season, that we, like McQueen, would be changed in our exile. Because it's only when we trust God and say, "Lord, we're in this place, so I'm going to locate myself with you, and I'm going to trust you in this time," that God will change us. The reality is when the people came back from exile, not all of them came. Some of them were comfortable where they were. Some of them, they came back and they began to rebuild. And we'll see this through Nehemiah. They began to rebuild. But the ones that were doing the building work, they weren't the tradespeople. They weren't the builders. You know, maybe in this time, God is going to call you to use different skills in the season of rebuilding to what he's asked you to do in the past. There were some people who returned from exile and they wept. They wept because of the former glory of the temple. They wept because they couldn't worship in the way that they used to worship. They disengaged. We mustn't be a people that disengage. We mustn't be a people who simply get comfortable and put our lives on hold. We must seek God in the time of rebuilding, that he will do something in us now, that as we locate ourselves with him, as we trust in him, that he would give us the skills we need, the gifts we need to rebuild and to reconnect in the season that is coming ahead. Because just as God was with the people in exile, so he was with them as he brought them out of exile. God is with us in this time. It's been such a strange time, but God is with us here. And as we locate ourselves in this time, as we build, and as we plant, and as we marry, and as we increase, and as we seek peace, and as we pray, God will be with us. And as it prospers, so God says, so we will prosper because God is with us. Why did Babylon prosper? Because God was with his people, and because God was using the time of Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar to bring about his purposes. But then he used his people to rebuild, to lay the way for the coming of Christ. And so God will use us in this rebuilding season that we're moving into, because one day Christ will come again. He has not left us. He is with us. And as we finish, I'm going to read over us God's promise to his people through Jeremiah. God has said to his people in Jeremiah 29, you are going to go into exile, but locate yourself in exile, for I am with you, and I've got plans for you in this place, and I have plans to bring you back. And then God says to his people in Jeremiah 31, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with an unfailing kindness. I will build you up again, and you, virgin Israel, will be rebuilt. Again, you will take up your timbrels and go out to dance with the joyful. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit. There will be a day when the watchmen cry out on the hills of Ephraim, come, let us go to Zion, to the Lord our God. This is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I will bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water, on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my firstborn son. Father, we come to you, our Father, the one who is with us, the one who sustains us. And Lord, this time has been such a strange time. And we recognize the changing nature of our world and our lives, but we recognize your unchanging nature and your unchanging love for us. And we thank you that you were with your people, Judah, even in exile, and Israel, even in exile. And you promised that you would bring them back again. And Lord, for us, give us the courage to trust in you now, to not lament the past, to not put our lives on pause, waiting for a day which may come, but it may not look like how we think it will. But to trust that you are with us now, that you want to do a deeper work in us now, that you will bring us back a stronger and more passionate people for you. And so, Lord, where you need to give us new skills in order to rebuild, Lord, we open ourselves to you. Lord, where you need us to reconnect in new ways, Lord, would you give us the courage and the boldness to do so? But Lord, above all, may we be led by you in the exile, led by you out of the exile, led by you in rebuilding, and led by you into all that you will have us do as you bring about your kingdom and as you bring about the return of your Son and a new heaven and a new earth and a day of ultimate restoration for humanity with you. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done in us and through us and in this world as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.